9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. It's the Jim Davis Show all across the Western Slope here in the Valley. 101.1 FM, 1340 AM. Along Highway 50, 102.1 FM. You can also get the mobile app for Android or iPhone or stream us from our website. Get the app at our website. You can also get it at the Apple App Store there or Google Play. Of course, our website, theteam1340.com. NFL schedules came out last night. For the Broncos, it starts September 12th at Lumen Field in Seattle. Russell Wilson, the intern Russell Wilson, goes back home to take on the Seahawks. Drew Lock, maybe possibly the starting quarterback for the Broncos in that game. We'll have to wait and see. But we know that Danger Russ will be the starting quarterback for the Broncos in that one. So, barring any... Oh, please, dear Lord. Anything. Josh Johnson? No, thank you. No offense to Josh Johnson. No,
however,
thank you. But the game that you're the most excited about, I get it, the Monday night game at Seattle, of course, that's the one everybody's like, yeah, it's the one I'm waiting for. But the one for you that you're kind of, okay, this is the game that's going to give me a sense of where they are. How good can this team be? Because Seattle, they're rebuilding. Houston the next week, Adam Powerfield, not a very good football team. And so you got a couple of games early on where you go, all right, those are two games the Broncos should win. And then after that, you're going to get, at least to me, the sense of how good this team really is. Look, I get it. We don't know who exactly will be the quarterback of San Francisco. That's still a team that made it to the NFC Championship game last year.
Right.
That Niners game is going to be the first game where you get kind of a sense of where the Broncos are. And so if you got some thoughts on that today, I think there are stages. The Niners game to me early on is a test against, at least last season, one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Raiders game will certainly be a test. They go a stretch where you're going to find out a lot about this team weeks 3, 4, and 5.
Pretty much every AFC West game the Broncos will play in will be a test.
Yeah.
Because that's the gauntlet.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to the Raiders after you play host to the Niners in a Sunday night game with the Niners. And then you're hosting the Colts with Matt Ryan and a team that probably should have been a playoff team last year. And then you go to the LA Chargers. I mean, it's going to be that stretch where you learn where this team is going to be in the hunt when December rolls around.
Right.
And then, of course, duh, Kansas City. Yeah, duh, that's going to be that's a huge, huge game. And the first one is in Denver.
But not until December.
But not until December. They don't meet the Chiefs until late in the season. So in both their matchups. So I've got some thoughts on it today. The Jerry Jeudy situation, which seems like it's a little more muddy. We're not sure. We're hearing, the more we hear, the less clear it is exactly
right.
what happened. Because first it seemed like it was fairly straightforward. Jerry Jeudy had a disagreement with the mother of his child, that he took baby formula away and
her wallet.
And now we're reading comments from Mike Kliss, unofficial mouthpiece of the Broncos, that there was more to it. As far as he took her phone and what else? Like a car seat and
so what the police report is from Mike Kliss, per the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office, she apparently just doesn't have a phone.
Okay.
And
so she relies on his phone.
Or rather, she hides it.
Okay.
Because of, as the police report states, hides it because of jealousy issues from Jerry Jeudy. That's what her side says to the cops. And then for whatever reason, she doesn't have a phone. She has to go to a neighbor's. She's trying to leave. She's trying to go to Virginia. And then he's like, all right, well, I'm taking your wallet and these documents and this baby formula.
And as I said, wasn't there a car seat referenced or something like that too?
I guess she says she's trying to go back to Virginia, but is unable to due to her not having access to a car seat, her wallet, and medical paperwork for their child.
Okay.
Now, he said that he did take her wallet and baby formula. So,
which I don't get what
I don't
like taking either. The baby formulas. How does that hurt her? How does that
right?
How does that impede her from doing something he doesn't want her to do? I don't.
And she said she doesn't want to get him in trouble.
But obviously,
I don't know how much stock Arapahoe
County Sheriff's deputy showed up. So whatever.
Whatever trouble whether
she got a phone and called them or neighbor called or whatever, the police showed up. They arrived, and that's never a good thing in a situation like this. So, if you got some thoughts on it, I think regardless, I get it, he's a young guy, he's in his early 20s. That's not enough of an excuse, though. I'm sorry, that's not. If it gets that heated, it escalates to that point, you just need to walk away. Just walk away.
Right.
Get in your car and drive away.
Without her stuff.
Without her stuff. Leave her stuff there. Just go because you're emotionally ready to lose it. And nothing good will come of that. And so just walk away and leave her stuff there. Well, people make mistakes. I understand that. People deserve second chances. I agree with that.
And I think Russell Wilson is going to have this exact conversation with Jerry Jeudy and say, look, I'm willing to forgive, and as your quarterback, I'm willing to work with you on this. However, clearly, you got some stuff to figure out.
You got a relationship that's not a good relationship.
It's clearly toxic. Yeah, and I think both sides
It doesn't sound like
badly.
she's exactly being an adult in this either.
He's not excusing his behavior.
He's being a jackass, but she's also being one as well. But he's also the one
in jail
that got arrested. And he's the one who took her stuff. Does that really solve anything? I'm going to take your stuff. Really? Come on, Jerry. We're in middle school. Come on, man.
It's not good.
All right. We're going to play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen in a moment. Do you want to mention that if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, thinking of our late colleague Buffalo Mark.
Yes.
That the Bills, according to Seth Walder of ESPN, they have a plus 13 day net rest differential on their schedule.
You want to run that by me one more time?
13 day net rest differential, which
net
means
rest.
They're going to get the most rest between games of any team in the league.
Okay.
And so, in other words, over the course of a season, the Bills will be better rested than their opponents by a cumulative 13 days.
Ooh.
So, we look at the Broncos, and travel plays into this. Denver's going to travel the second most behind Seattle of anybody in the league this season.
And that's including London.
Because London makes that the second most in the league. So, when you look at the playoffs and going forward, Bills, already a team that was considered one of the best teams in the AFC, a team that the Broncos are going to have to, if they get to the playoffs, probably
you'll see
have to get through them to get to a Super Bowl. Denver's going to be a tired football team. Bills are going to be a much more rested team going forward, and it gives them an advantage against other teams in the AFC, the Kansas Cities and the other teams that are going to be vying to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, and let's also consider that, you know, you're a Bills team that's gunning for number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
That's a bye week right there. That just bolsters your...
Yeah.
Now, I will counter and say, does the having the most rest among NFL teams, does that maybe hinder or slow your momentum down and maybe makes it a little harder for you to kind of go on a continuum? I don't know. Probably not. I think the Bills are fine. I think they'll be...
Yeah, I think
if anything, this makes them better.
I think if you hadn't played for a week and a half or something like that, then I think it's an issue. I think in this case, where it's a long season, it's now a 17-game season, I think it does prove to be beneficial for them going forward.
And by the way,
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it kind of changing gears a little bit. You talk about the most rest on the Buffalo Bills and talk about travel as well. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers not having to leave the East Coast for the whole season?
That's an advantage for them. I mean, it's not like it's, oh, they pulled off something nefarious. No, it's just how things play out in the scheduling.
Yeah.
And we'll see if both those teams, Steelers and the Bills, can benefit from it. I'm going to say the Bills are going to be in a much more advantageous position to benefit from their plus 13 rest differential than the Steelers are from the not even go to multiple time zones.
Yeah,
just
I agree.
Because Bills are a damn good football team. Steelers,
we'll see.
There's a lot of work to do there. A
lot of question marks.
All right, it's time to play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
He's in on hide, whatever.
I will find you.
Your chance to win Fat Tire today and tickets to the Grand Valley Highland Games. Now, if you cannot pick up your tickets for those today, I would say don't play today. But if you can pick up your tickets today, go right ahead and answer on the text line 970-242-1340.
If you, because it is for the Highland Games this weekend. So if you,
please. We're not open tomorrow. So.
Yeah, so please don't play if you can't go to the Highland Games.
All right, but we go up north to this NHL arena where we pose the question, won't you be my neighbor? Ponder that while I show you the statue of the Great One and gently remind you that this place was once a bubble during perhaps one of the darkest periods in sports, nay, human history. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
All right, give it to us one more time.
Up north we go to this NHL arena where we pose the question, won't you be my neighbor? Ponder that while I show you the statue of the Great One and gently remind you that this place was once a bubble during perhaps one of the darkest periods in sports, nay, human history. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
So today you win a case of Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage. And to go along with that, tickets to the Grand Valley Highland Games this weekend at the Mesa County Fairgrounds. All right. So, first correct answer, text line only. If you've won the last 2 weeks.
And we got a winner.
But wow. Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
That might be the fastest one we've had in quite some time.
Quite a while. Now, I'm getting the name and information of this particular winner, but congratulations to the first texter in who answered Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Bubbled during the NHL playoffs, and yeah.
Mr. Rogers, neighbor. Yeah.
The Great One.
Gretzky.
Yep. Okay, very good. Well, congratulations to the, at the moment, unnamed winner today.
We're finding that out.
On the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. 970-242-1340. On the Jim Davis text line, which is my cell phone, I got a text from Dave Yonke.
Uh-oh.
We, the Seahawks, are going to get our butts kicked. Can I read this, Dave? Is this okay? We're going to get our butts kicked in that Monday night game. 4-point favorites, 6.5 isn't enough. Whoa, Dave. Do you have little faith, Yonk? Come on, man. Ye have little faith. All right. 9:14. Quick reminder, by the way, Colorado Mesa baseball today on the team. RMAC tournament. Colorado School of Mines, their opponent today. 10:45 pregame right here on the team. So make sure you join Greg Wenzel and Tyler for that coming up later on this morning. All right. Speaking of CMU sports, the Colorado Mesa men's golf team qualified for the first time ever, their whole team, to go to the national tournament out in Michigan this weekend. Had the chance to talk with Scott Sullivan, their coach, earlier this week. Here's our conversation with Mavs golf coach, Scott Sullivan. Coach of the Colorado Mesa golf team, Scott Sullivan, joins us. Scott, I appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Absolutely. Always enjoy talking to you, Jim.
Likewise, and congratulations. Boy, this is big stuff for the golf program at CMU. First time ever that you've qualified your entire team to go to the D2 National Championships. It'll be May 16th to the 20th. TPC Michigan near Detroit. So congratulations on getting your entire team to go to the national championship.
Thanks. It's extremely exciting for us. We had a meeting before Thursday's round, Wednesday night, And, you know, I just tell them the expectation is we're here, and you know, we expect to be at the regional tournament every year, and let's have a shot at getting to the national tournament. And we've made it three of the 3 years that I've been coaching, and so that, you know, that just is the expectation, we get to regionals. But you know, I had low expectations we would make the national tournament, but the guys just came out and played really extremely well. You know, a surprise was Timmy Cavarno, true freshman, and he was a late recruit for me from Redlands, California, shot a 62 on Friday, and you know, that really propelled us. We if he shoots like 72, we're right. We're still in the mix, but we're right on the edge of qualifying for the national tournament. So that was really something special.
Scott Sullivan, coach of the Colorado Mesa men's golf team, with us. Maverick golf team competing this last weekend over in Pueblo at the West South Central Region men's golf tournament, the Pueblo Country Club. And, I mean, you guys were right there. You, CSU Pueblo, which ended up winning the team title, Midwestern State. I mean, Scott, it was a battle to the finish in regard to claiming that regional title.
It sure was. And you know, Jim, we have real-time scoring on every three holes, real-time scoring. And the guys knew we were right there. We had a three- or four-stroke lead with, like, three holes to play. And they were on their phones, and I probably should have taken the phones away, so it's the coach's fault. But, you know, they knew they were right there and in the mix, and I think they got a little tight. We're young. We've got two freshmen, two sophomores, and our old man, Kyle Pearson, who's a fifth-year grad student. And, you know, they just got a little tight. And, you know, like I said, I should probably take them the phones away just so they could focus on just the next shot. But we accomplished what we set out to accomplish, and that was just to make the national tournament. But at the same time, it would have been really nice to come home with the hardware, and we had it in our grasp. But it's all good.
Scott Sullivan, coach of the CME men's golf team. Mavericks finish with the tournament score of 846, finishing just behind CSU Pueblo for the regional title. Peter Grossenbacher had a third round 67. He tied for eighth place. Dakota Gilman, he finished tied for 15th. And so those two golfers for you, Scott, performed really well over in Pueblo this past weekend.
Absolutely. Peter's our rock, and you know, he's been a number one man most of the year. And Dakota Gilman didn't play in the fall. And, you know, he's just really come on and just been really great in the spring. And, you know, I've got two players right now that are second team all conference, and they're on the bench just because of the competition and how good our guys are getting. And, you know, it's a real testament to, you know, being able to compete. And, you know, we're just so excited about the opportunity to go and see what we can do on a national level.
You mentioned you've been to the regionals the last 3 years and now a trip to the national tournament. I imagine for recruiting, these are great things to build upon when it comes to attracting golfers to CMU.
Really great. And I got two recruits coming in the fall that are just good young men and good players. You know, our strength and conditioning is second to none. And I tell them all, you know, unless you like strength and conditioning, you should probably go somewhere else. And, you know, we've got the facility that President Foster and A.D. Rooks helped us with over at Lincoln Park. And, you know, we've just done a lot of good things. And, you know, we're really improving, and it's just fun to see how the guys. I just try to get them all the resources for them to improve, and the hard work is up to them. But it's really fun to see how they've improved, and the hard work is paying off.
I mentioned the D2 National Championships are May 16th to the 20th at TPC Michigan in Detroit. What can you tell us about TPC Michigan, Scott, and how that course plays?
Well, not too much. We're focusing on the regional tournament, and I ordered the Strackaline screen reading books, and it also shows you the course, so we'll have those. It's a TPC course, tournament players course, so we know it'll be challenging. It'll be a big boy course, and but you know, we leave Saturday. We'll practice around Sunday, and then the first round will be Monday. And from that, three rounds, and you qualify into match play, which is a really fun format. So we're going to do everything we can to get to match play and just see how it goes.
Can you give us the lay of the land, some of the best teams that you'll be facing, some of the outstanding golfers will be playing at the National Championship?
Well, Pueblo will be there, so Armack will be well represented. We'll have 2 out of 20 teams. Our region, our super region with the West, we only get four teams. So Oklahoma Christian and... who's the other one? It escapes me right now, but Midwestern State. So the four of us are going from our super region, and you know, we don't know a whole lot. We don't see the East Coast teams, and you know, the Florida area and the East Coast gets six bids out of their super regional. So there's 20 teams total. So we don't know a whole lot about the other teams. We see them occasionally in Las Vegas at a big tournament there, but for the most part, it's just the West Coast and the Lone Star Conference and the RMAC that we know well.
All right, that's Scott Sullivan, coach of the CMU men's golf team. They're playing out in Michigan this weekend in the D2 National Golf Tournament. Congratulations on qualifying the whole team and the high finish at regional over in Pueblo, and best of luck to Scott and the golfers out in Michigan this weekend. All right, 9:22. Colorado Mesa baseball coach Chris Angst will join us coming up at 9:40 this morning. We're also going to talk about the Central Girls soccer team. They're in action tomorrow in the 4A state tournament when they take on Windsor. And also the Fruit of Monument boys lacrosse team. They're into the second round of the 5A state lacrosse tournament. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Your thoughts on the Broncos schedule, the game outside of the Seattle game, the opener game that you're the most excited for, that you or maybe it's the one that you feel like is the first real test of how good the Broncos are going to be in 2022. Got some thoughts on the Jerry Jeudy situation as well. Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Knocking at the door on what I knew for sure, blew up in my face. Woke up on the floor.
Welcome back, 9:26. Jim along with Cake. Peyton hanging out with us today, too. I enjoy what the Buckeye Boy plays. Like I've said before, I always enjoy your return cuts that play. It's a delightful mix. I like it.
When I heard this song on our sister station, Planet, and I was like, oh, this is really good. I got to add this to the collection. Philip Michael Scales.
Oh, yeah, brand new stuff from him. Yeah, it took me around. I was like, Yeah, I work on that station sometimes, so you'd think I would immediately recognize that. Unfortunately, I didn't.
It's a new song. It came out about a month ago, yeah. So all is forgiven.
All right. Well, thank you. I thank you. I appreciate that. Sometimes others give us more forgiveness than we give ourselves.
Exactly.
That's how it works sometimes. All right. So we had Doug Beach on yesterday, Central Girls soccer coach. They had accomplished something with that win against Holy Family that no soccer team, boys or girls, have ever done in the history of Central High School, which is only roughly 80-some years. They won a state tournament soccer game. It's never happened.
Never.
And so they get the 2-1 win over Holy Family the other day in the 4A state tournament with Leanna Bryant scoring both the goals. And so we had the chance to talk with Doug Beach about some history for Central Soccer and now taking on 14-2 Windsor, the top seed in the 4A tournament. Here's our conversation with Warrior soccer coach Doug Beach.
Almost.
Almost?
There we go.
Talking Central Warrior Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
7:26. And we're going to talk some Central Girls Soccer with Coach Doug Beach. And Doug Beach, of course, his interview with us this morning brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. And Doug Beach joins us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Doug, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning, and congratulations to you and your Central Girls Soccer team.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a feat that has never been done in Central before, and we're really excited.
What, about 80-year history of the school? Soccer doesn't quite go back that far at Central High School, but first time ever that a Warrior soccer team, boys or girls, has won a postseason match. And, I mean, that's something that you put into that kind of historical perspective is something that I know you're on cloud nine today. Going to enjoy it right now, you and your girls, but not a lot of time to enjoy it for too long because it's Windsor coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, Windsor, number one seed. They won yesterday 10-0. They're a tough team from what I understand. But so are we. We have a good defense, and I think the defense is what's saving us.
Well, 2-1 win yesterday over Holy Family. And Liana Bryant, who has been an outstanding goal scorer for you this season, I believe got her 22nd, 23rd goals yesterday, getting the two goals in that win against Holy Family. She was coming off the bench for the Central Girls basketball team, good contributor there, but she has been a real star for your girls soccer team this season.
Oh, that's for sure. She is just, seems like she has a magnet for that ball on her feet, and it's so hard to get her off the ball. You almost have to foul her to get her off the ball.
And we were talking about it earlier, that that this team is really comprised of a lot of those players that played for Mary Doane, with Liana Bryant and others that that are Lauren Spencer, Jasmine Hernandez, that were contributors on the basketball floor, also big contributors for your soccer team as well.
You know, Mary's done a great job with those girls, and she's actually taught them how to win, and that's something that, you know, we're working on the soccer pitch. Just, you know, how do you win a game? And, you know, they have that installed from Coach Doane, you know, and so kudos to her for, you know, giving that insight for them.
Doug Beach, coach of the Central Girls Soccer Team, Central winning their first ever boys or girls postseason soccer match with a 2-1 win over Holy Family yesterday in the 4A state tournament. And I know in the article in the local paper, there was the about the T-shirts that you have. Better than I was yesterday, and it certainly seems like, you know, kind of feeding off what Mary's done with the basketball players that play for you, Doug, and then what you're doing with this team. Your players getting better every single day, and this team has just gotten better, it seems like, every match of the course of the season.
Yeah, you know, we constantly work on our weaknesses and kind of hone our strengths, but yeah, these girls, they're so coachable, and, you know, they want to learn the game, and that makes it a lot easier.
Doug Beach, coach of the Central Girls Soccer Team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You guided Central to their last playoff berth back in 2009, decided to step away in 2011, and then decided to come back in 2021. What made you decide, Doug, that was the time to come back and coach again at Central High School?
Well, once I was looking at the situation, the girls had four different coaches in 4 years. There was just no stability. There was a new system every time. They needed some stability, and so that's when I just decided to throw my hat in the ring and see if they would hire me. And sure enough, they did. And you know, and then the rest is history. I just love the game, and I love to teach the game, and that's where we're at right now.
Doug Beach, Central Girls Soccer Coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network. When you look at, you know, I mentioned better than the day before, the mantra that's on the shirts of your players. Give me a couple of players that, you know, we've talked about your standouts like Liana Bryant and others, but maybe a player or two that you've really seen that really become the truth for them, that they really have. They started out being a player that maybe is a fringe varsity player, but has turned into a more of a contributor for your soccer team this season. Do you have? I'm sure you got a couple of players that have developed like that over the course of the last of this season and even last year as well.
Yeah, I mean, right off the top of my head, Elizabeth Stice. You know, she had her own goal off of a fluke spinning ball yesterday, but then there was a one-on-one situation with about. Right before we scored the golden goal, she came through and swept the ball away from a one-on-one with our keeper, saved us. She, you know, she's just, her speed and her coachability is just awesome. Marini Robles, she's started out in JV. Now she's a central part of our defense now. We just have a lot of young talent that have just really blossomed under, I wouldn't be able to be here without my coaching staff too, and I need to say that. I mean, I have a great, I have two assistant coaches that are really, really well-versed, experience in the game, both coaching and playing, and that kind of helps.
Doug Beach, coach of the Central Girls Soccer Team with us. Score off against the top seed Windsor coming up this weekend. No time has been set for that, correct, Doug?
I think it's 10 a.m.
Okay, it's going to be 10 o'clock at Windsor this weekend. They're coming off the 10-1 win over Skyview in the first round. And Ella Moody's their leading scorer. She's got 11 goals in the season. But just looking at their scores this year, Doug, a lot of shutouts. Really good goaltending, and it seems like, kind of like what you talked about, your team being a good defensive team, it sounds like the same can be said about the Windsor Wizards as well, a really good defensive team you'll face on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to work on, these penetrating killer passes through their back line. We've been working on that all season. And so, yeah, I mean, the team that Holy Family lost to them 1-0. So, I mean, it is a winnable game, and that's what I'm trying to convince the girls. It is a winnable game. If Holy Family, you know, we beat Holy Family 2-1, and they lost to Windsor 1-0. So, I mean, you know, that's why we play the game, because we want to, you know, we want to know who the better team is. And I think we have a shot.
Doug. That's Doug Beach, the head coach of the Central Girls Soccer Team. They'll play at Windsor at 3 o'clock tomorrow, by the way, in the second round of the 4A State Tournament. Liana Bryant, the junior, 23 goals in the season.
That's really good.
And, I mean, she is by far their leading goal scorer with Ryan Mason with 4 goals. She's second for Central this year. So, clearly, Liana Bryant has been a dominant player for Central. Once again, they play at Windsor at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Also tomorrow, you have the Fruit of Monmouth boys lacrosse team into the second round of the 5A state tournament. Some history for the Wildcat boys as well. They won their first ever lacrosse postseason game the other day at Community Hospital Unity Field when they beat Dakota Ridge in overtime 13-12. And they will play at defending state champion Mountain Vista coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Had the chance to catch up with Wildcats coach Kevin Costanza.
And now we can check. Now it is.
There we go.
Talking Fruit of Monument Wildcat Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, Fruit of Monument Wildcats lacrosse team. They are in action in the 5A postseason. And with us right now, the head coach of the Fruit of Monument boys lacrosse team, Kevin Costanza. Kevin, I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on a second straight Mountain League title. And that says, it speaks volumes about how far the program has come, the kind of athletes that you have, to be able to go out in a really solid league, in the Mountain League, to go out and win back-to-back league titles. Like I said, it speaks volumes about where your team is right now.
It certainly does. We've built this program, and coming from the youth organization as well, these kids have been playing since they were in about second grade up to this point now. And over the past few years, we've really tried to develop a culture and a winning atmosphere out there at Fruta, not just on the field, but off of it. And it's translated to on the field, playing some tough competition in our league with Grand Junction and Telluride, being some tough opponents that we've had over the last few years, and being able to find a way to win those games.
I mean, to go undefeated in the Mountain League with, you know, Telluride's pretty good program in the past. Obviously, your rivals here in town, Grand Junction as well. They're a talented team. But, I mean, the only blemish on your record was that 13-1 loss to Erie, and that's it. Otherwise, I mean, your team was able to run the table this year in the Mountain League and also during the majority of your season.
They were, and I attribute that the way to the way that they prepare themselves for these games that we go into. We took kind of a mentality this year of looking at each day as trying to go 1-0, trying to win your day, whether it's in practice or out on the game field. We weren't necessarily worried about what happened yesterday or what's to come ahead of us during some of our long game stretches, what's happening tomorrow. We were just focused on the task at hand and taking care of what we needed to that day to be able to win that day and be the best version of ourselves out on the field. And in all honesty, it worked out really well for us so far this year, and we're hoping that it'll stay that way tonight.
All right, that's Kevin Costanza. He joined us at a couple of different occasions this week after they won their second straight Mountain League title. And then, of course, the other night they beat Dakota Ridge in overtime 13-12 for the first ever Wildcats postseason boys lacrosse win. So they're at Mountain Vista, defending state champions and one of the top goal scoring teams in 5A boys lacrosse. That is tomorrow, by the way, over in the Front Range Fruitland Monument at Mountain Vista. Wildcats 15-1, Mountain Vista 12-3 on the season. All right, Chris Angst will join us in a couple of minutes. Time right now for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, we go to baseball. 1958, Stan Musial gets his 3,000th hit in St. Louis's win over the Chicago Cubs. Also 2005, Tiger Woods misses the cut at the Byron Nelson Championship to end his record of 142 consecutive cuts. In 2007, Rafael Nadal becomes the first player to win Rome Masters 3 consecutive times. Also on this day, 2012, Manchester City wins the English title for the first time in 44 years in soccer. And then 2014, King Henrik Lundqvist sets an NHL record with his fifth straight Game 7 victory for the New York Rangers when they knocked off Pittsburgh 2-1 back in 2014. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Chris Angst, skipper of the CMU baseball team, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
Colorado sports leader, 1340 KTMM Grand Junction.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 943. Jim along with Cake today, and Peyton in the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Wow, easy for me to say.
Van Halen did Friday.
Van Halen did some really good cover stuff.
Yeah.
One of these, I mean, this one, just one of the many that they did a really, really nice job.
Totally agree.
Back in the day. All right, we got some other texts to get to this morning. By the way, who's the name of our winner? We never did.
Eli.
Okay, Eli. Congratulations to Eli, by the way. He was our winner of Where in the World is Tyler Franzen. Let's see. I'm looking forward to the Broncos home game against the Jets on October 23rd. Should be busy in Lodo with the Rockies World Series game that same day. Yeah, it's going to be a busy day.
Yeah. Rocktober, here we come.
Rocktober 2022, baby.
Mark it.
Okay. Is that supposed to be sarcastic? Because
Yes, it was.
But sometimes I don't know. Sometimes we get there are people that are that. I still believe in him, man. I still believe. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's sarcasm right there.
They're still above water. However, they are also in the basement of the NL West.
Do you like this? Based on Judy's play, I'm guessing the charges will be dropped.
Oh.
Same texter. Some solid work. I don't know who that is. Don't have a name on that text. That's some good work, though, today.
Solid.
That's some good work. Got one from Dylan. Looking forward to all the divisional games for the Broncos. Interested to see how Hackett can keep the defense up to par. Glad the Avs are playing Blues. Bye-bye, Minnesota. Bye-bye. Robert, what is going on between the Browns and quarterback Mayfield? Does Baker have a job with the Browns? Still under contract at the moment. Still under contract. Also, why are the Browns opening and closing on the road? I would think the NFL would schedule half the teams to open and the other half to close. Buckeye must be quite cynical this morning. Don't know. Haven't talked to him. I'm assuming. Robert, I don't know if that does anything for him in terms of that getting him sideways. I don't think it matters to him. I think he's probably okay with that. I think he's got other things he's probably more concerned about in regard to his Browns.
Right.
All right. Do we have Chris Angst?
Yes.
Okay. So right now we're going to talk with CMU skipper Chris Angst on the Jim Davis Show.
Oh,
that would be you.
That would be me, and that would be my super slow computer. Here we go.
Talking Colorado Mesa sports on Mav Day on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, with us right now, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the head coach of CMU's baseball team, Chris Angst. Chris, I appreciate the time. I know it's a hectic morning. I appreciate you fitting us in for a few minutes. I know yesterday you had the big inning with the three consecutive home runs. It really looked like that your team had responded in a huge way after trailing early 1-0. But Edwin Corrales, give the young man credit. We saw him a little bit in that final game against your team, in that game in the regular season, that final one against your squad. Corrales, 6 strikeouts. He was really, really good against your bats yesterday.
Yeah, he sure was. He had his changeup going, and it was a difference-maker pitch. I mean, he was throwing it out of the same arm slot as his fastball with the same arm speed, and it was like a parachute came out on the ball. It was really giving us trouble. So you have to tip your cap to him, but, you know, we got the 5-3 lead with those consecutive home runs, and I thought our approach changed. I thought guys got into everybody wanted to hit home runs now, you know, and that's when the strikeouts started. And I passed on an opportunity to bunt Johnny Carr. We hit into a double play. I passed on an opportunity to bunt Bramwell, and he struck out. And so I was part of the problem yesterday in the second half of the game, along with the strikeouts.
So did you make yourself run poles afterwards? I mean, what did Chris Angst do to Chris Angst?
I guess I stood in front of the mirror and slapped myself.
Okay, maybe if that's whatever it takes, Skip. I mean, whatever it does to fix that problem internally, I'm glad you took care of it. Chris Angst, the coach of the CMU baseball team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And you know, like you said, I think guys were, they saw the three consecutive home runs from McGarry and Bramwell and Villafuerte, and they were thinking, okay, it's our day to play a little home run derby and take several trips out to McGarryville out there in left field. It didn't quite work out that way. But now you got to quickly, flip the script on this, because I know you said after the game yesterday, going to go to the clubhouse, going to let the guys play music. We're going to take it as this was a successful day. It's tournament baseball. You've got to change your tune. You got to flip the script immediately, because there's no time to sit around and wallow and pity and wonder what you should have done the day before. You got to get right back on the horse when you take on Colorado School of Mines today.
Yeah, we have a tough Mines club. They're very good. They've got the best pitching in the conference. We'll see a good arm. I don't know who yet, they're a good club. It'll be a test. We need to bounce back. We're a good club, too. And so you're right. In postseason play, we found what works best after a loss is you got to let it go, and you got to change momentum. So we just finished up batting practice. We're getting stretched up and getting mentally prepared to play. And, we'll start here at 11 a.m.
Chris Angst with us today on the Team Sports Network. Yesterday, you gave the ball to Ryan Day, and he threw 124 pitches yesterday, and gave up a couple of bombs, but he certainly gave you a chance to win that game yesterday. And then now today, Dave Henderson came in relief yesterday for your ball club, and I thought did a nice job in coming in out of the bullpen to keep that a one run game today. Who do you turn to on the bump to win a must-win game today against Mines?
Well, we're going to start off with Frankie Fitzgerald, Sr., a guy who's been in our program a long time. We'll give him the ball first, and then we'll see how the game progresses. We have two plans in place, and, we'd probably go to Gage Edwards. Cooper Vasquez is rested enough now, but we also have a kid that's been looking good in practices, haven't pitched in a while, Cade Nickel. I got an itch to pitch him, and whether it would be out of the pen today or tonight, if we can make it to tonight, those are probably the guys you'll see.
Yeah, we saw Cade in that last game against CSU Pueblo, and I thought he came in and looked pretty good for you in limited duty.
Yeah, you know, he's a kid that can spin a curveball pretty well, throw for strikes. He's a command kid, a very athletic off the mound. You know, he's a kid we're a little bit maybe wondering if we haven't pitched him enough.
Chris Hanks, the coach of the CMU baseball team. Mavericks take on Colorado School of Mines today in the RMAC tournament at Bergman. And, Chris, I do want to ask you just very quickly, I mean, in terms of approach from yesterday, like I said, guys, their approach started to change yesterday after the three consecutive home runs. How much time do you talk to your guys about that? This is such a good hitting team. Does there have to be much discussion about the approach today against whoever Mines throws because of what you said? They have one of the best pitching staffs in the conference.
You know, we mentioned it. We just mentioned where we think we may have gotten off the rails a little bit, and we talk about what we're going to do today. You know, in that scenario after a home run, we just need a tough competitive at-bat. What we really can't have is a strikeout after a home run. We need something. So you might see us execute a little more today. We might lay down a drag bunt. We might hit and run. We might do something. But we're going to really try to score first today. That means probably bunt in the first inning if we have to, even with some good hitters. And we're going to try to play the game a little bit old school today.
Yeah, and like yesterday you mentioned, yeah, I think it was after Conrad Villafuerte's home run, I believe, and I'm not trying to pick on Julian Boyd because he had such a magnificent game Thursday night against UCCS, but he struck out right after that, and there were some big swings in Julian's at bat, and he kind of got the sense that, like you said, that things were heading in the wrong direction in terms of guys' approach at the plate after those three home runs, and then unfortunately what happened with Julian Boyd after that. Hey, Chris, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. We'll have the game today on the team. We'll have a 11 o'clock game, and we're certainly planning on a 7 o'clock game tonight for the Maverick baseball team as well at the RMAC tournament. You can catch all the action right here on the Team Sports Network. Maverick Baseball brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. Chris, good luck. Don't slap yourself anymore, okay? And don't
okay,
run.
What?
Yeah, don't do that, okay? Don't go slap Wojtek or somebody, okay? Don't slap yourself. I was giving Steve grief yesterday. Very, very meager effort on a ground ball to Steve Wojtek yesterday. I was very disappointed in the lack of effort. You can let him know that.
Yeah, I told him he didn't move his feet and didn't show a very good motor.
It was. And McKinney, though, you know, fairly decently hit ground ball. Rook was all over it like he was still, you know, a young pup in his playing days. I mean, come on. Wojtek still got some, there's still some mileage on those tires. We can expect a better effort from him today, can't we?
Yeah, we can, and I'll be sure to talk with him about that.
Coaching staff sets the tone, correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay, I'm just saying that was just one man's observation yesterday about Steve Wojtek.
Well, it was a good observation.
Oh, thank you. And that's one. That's the first one I've had in a long time, Chris.
We'll kick him in the tail end today.
Okay, all right. Best of luck, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, Chris Hanks, coach of the CMU baseball team. 11 o'clock today, Colorado School of Mines, Greg Winsell, and Cake. Tyler Franson will have that for you today. 10:45 pregame on the Team Sports Network. All right. Been a fun show today. It's been a bit. 8 o'clock hour just was a blur.
Right.
Pretty much. Appreciate Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex coming on today. Keith Roberts from the Young Dubliners. Dude. We occasionally like to get out of the world of sports, talk a little music on this program. Always good to talk with Keith about that. Don't forget, they have the Kaylee event tonight. That is 7 o'clock. The doors open for the Young Dubliners and also the Wicked Tinkers. They're playing at the Mesa Theater tonight and then tomorrow, Grand Valley Highland Games. Young Dubliners, 8 o'clock tomorrow night for the Young Dubliners. I remember last year they played during the afternoon, as Keith referenced. So I want to get a nap in. And
probably.
Go check them out tomorrow night if you can't make it to the Mesa Theater. Tonight, that's our show. And coming up, a little bit of Jim Rome, and then Colorado Mesa Baseball, Mavericks, Colorado School of Mines, Ore Diggers, 10:45 pregame today on the team. For Cake and for Peyton, I'm Jim. Have a great day.